This is number 6005. Derek Prince speaks on the subject, Deliverance and Demonology. Study number 5 entitled, Cult and Occult, Satan's Snares Disclosed.
I'm going to deal with these three successive things. The domination of one person by another. Secondly, heresies, departures from the Christian faith. And thirdly, false religion. Let me begin briefly by speaking about a situation in which one person is dominated by another. It is never the will of God for any human soul to be dominated by any other human soul. It is never the will of God for parents to dominate their children, for a husband to dominate his wife, for a wife to dominate her husband, for a pastor to dominate his congregation, or for any other person in any situation to dominate another person. And yet many people have grown up in life either dominating or being dominated by. I have discovered recently that one of the greatest single hindrances to people receiving complete deliverance is the fact that they have been dominated by their mother. Many mothers seek to control their children's lives, to plan their destiny, to arrange the vocation that they will follow, and to keep them under their control. This is extraordinary how far-reaching it is. An evangelist came to me about 4 years ago, and he asked to counsel with me, and I spent some hours eating a meal with him and talking with him. At the end, we went back to his hotel room, and he asked me to pray for his deliverance. Before we prayed, I said this: I only have one source of information about yourself and your family, and that is from what you have told me personally. But I said, on the basis of what you have told me, I have to tell you one thing. In my opinion, your mother is a witch. And he said, that's what my wife says. And I said, I agree with your wife. Now, his mother was a good Pentecostal lady sitting up in the front rows of a Pentecostal church every Sunday, and so on and so forth. Well, I prayed for that man, spent the next 20 minutes bringing up great strings of slimy, fluid substance. I prayed with him for maybe half an hour, 40 minutes, left him, phoned him next day to find out how he was doing. He said, I feel wonderful. But he said, I feel as if I've just been through a 12-mile race. Every bone in my body is aching. Well, I said, that's the result of deliverance. And then he said to me something which impressed me. He said, you know, isn't it remarkable? Yesterday, you and I had lunch together, and I ate fried chicken. But he said, whatever I brought up, there was no vestige of chicken or anything else that I'd eaten in it. He said, wherever it came from, it didn't come from my stomach. And that really made me think. Well, I wouldn't like to count the buckets of fluid that I've seen people bring up in deliverance. And I've realized, let me say this, that as I understand it, this is not the demon, but it's the nest that the demon has made in your body. And when the demon goes, its nest better go with it. Sometimes people go on with this process of physical cleansing for 3 or 4 days or even a week. They'll go on bringing up and bringing up. I say, don't turn it off. Go through with it. Get your body cleansed. That's not the demon. You don't see the demon. But it's his particular little nest that he's built up in your body to inhabit. You see, the Bible says, he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. This is a definite statement of Scripture. And I believe personally that everybody that practices fornication invites a demon which builds its own unclean area of inhabitation inside that body. As a matter of fact, in many cases, I can tell people what they are being delivered from by seeing the form that their deliverance takes. Almost each type of evil spirit is characteristic in what it tends to produce. To go back to this evangelist, then he said to me, we have a daughter who has tremendous problems. She's 13 years old, goes out all night with men, is on drugs, is attending a well-known full gospel high school, and we can do nothing with her. Do you advise anything? Well, I said, first of all, go home, talk with your wife, tell her what's happened to you, get together in prayer, get to the point where you really agree in the spirit, and then take some item of clothing that your daughter wears, lay hands on it, and curse the demons. So that was what I told him. A year later, he was back in the area, he phoned me, and he said, he wanted to tell me how he was getting on. I said, how are you doing? He said, fine, things are changing. He said, I'm not without struggles, but my ministry is quite different from what it was before. I said, what about your daughter? He said, she's enrolled in an Episcopal girls' school, has a scholarship, and is doing wonderful. Straight A's all the way through, she's straightened out and become a sensible girl. And I said, what about it? How did you operate? Well, he said, we did what you said. We got a blue T-shirt that she likes very much. And without telling her, we prayed over it and then just watched her wear it. But he said, there's something more than that. One day, the girl's grandmother, my mother, came to the house and did something she wouldn't normally do, offered to do some washing for my wife. And in the items that she washed was the blue T-shirt. And ever since my mother washed that T-shirt, she's been a different woman. Now, the point about this mother was that with all the best intentions in the world, she was dominating her son, her son's wife, and her son's children. And she was using spiritual power to control an entire family. Now listen. Witchcraft is the attempt to control people and make them do what you want by a power other than the Holy Spirit. And if you have a power in your life that you can use, it isn't the Holy Spirit, because no one uses the Holy Spirit. He's God. Now, this is tremendously common. Many, many people are still tied by a spiritual umbilical cord to their mother. And in many cases, total deliverance does not come until that umbilical cord in the spiritual realm is cut. Now, I'm not teaching disobedience. I believe the Bible teaches honor thy father and thy mother that it may be well with thee. But nevertheless, it is not the will of God for any one person to dominate any other person, to control them. It's remarkable, but you find many times that a mother will know when her daughter is seeking the Lord and will start phoning and bringing pressure upon her. She may be eaten up with self-pity, and every time that family is going to move out in God, the mother will phone, come and help me, come and hold my hand, come and stand by me. Now, I want to warn you, don't let anybody dominate your life. And if you've been in that situation where you've been dominated by a father or a mother, this afternoon, before this meeting closes, exercise the authority given to you in the name of Jesus and loose yourself from that dominion. And if you have hatred or unforgiveness in your heart as a result of that attempted domination, forgive the father or the mother or the person, whoever it may be. Because you cannot loose yourself from someone if you resent them or hate them. The very resentment and hatred itself constitutes a bond which ties you to them. Now, it is not always apparent. It may be other cases. Many, many cases, some of you have been influenced by spiritual, quote, persons who've tried to take you over. This happens very often with prayer groups. Some dominating, strong, spiritual lady will move in and just begin to exercise control over that prayer group. Now, listen, the Holy Spirit never causes a minister of the gospel to dominate others. If you come to the place where you're more tied to that woman than you are to the Lord, you are bound, and not in a good way, and not by the Spirit of the Lord. There is a church where the biggest item in the expense is the long-distance phone bill. Because every time the pastor wants to make a decision, he phones a certain lady in another state and gets her to give him the mind of the Lord. And she flips the pages of the Bible, uses the name of Jesus, and comes out with a pronouncement which is what runs that entire church. I could tell you some extraordinary and even ridiculous examples of this, but I'm not going to do it. That church and its minister are bound, and the people that attend that church come under that bondage. And the woman behind it, in plain, simple language, is a witch. A religious witch, a full gospel witch, a charismatic witch, and all the more dangerous for that.